It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Gene Purcell in for Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll hear about change that is coming to the state's prison disciplinary measures, including the use of solitary confinement.
First, the unemployment rate has been below 6% since October, which is good news for the economy. What might not be such good news is that wages have remained flat.
With an average of 222,000 new jobs created each month, the economic recovery is inching ahead and at a slightly faster pace than in recent years.
At the same time, the lower unemployment rate isn't translating into higher wages. In fact, the average increase in hourly wages has remained stuck at 2% since 2009.
Atlantic Magazine senior editor Derek Thompson attributes this trend to what he calls invisible unemployment, and he joins us now. Derek, welcome to Central Time.
It's good to be back. Thank you.
I want to talk about this idea of invisible unemployment, you know, because we hear about the employment numbers every single month when they come out. They're in all the headlines. But in your article in The Atlantic, you've got an interesting graph that sort of outlines the idea of invisible unemployment. And I want to talk about two things. What is invisible unemployment and how do you define it? And how big is it?
Right, let me try to paint that graph with words.
Yeah.
Invisible unemployment is discouraged workers and people working part-time who want to work more. There's lots of people working part-time who don't want to work more. If a mom or a dad wants to stay home with their young child, they're part-time, potentially, if they're putting in a few hours at work, but they're part-time for reasons of their own choosing. There are other people who are working part-time because they can't find work. So they belong to this category, along with discouraged workers, people who have dropped out of the economy because they don't think there's a job for them. You put them together, and that's what I call invisible unemployment. When you look at the unemployment rate, when you hear about it right now, it's 5.8%. That is not counting this, quote, invisible unemployment group. It's just counting people that we know are looking for work and can't find it. So it's really important to pay attention to this invisible, slightly less easy to identify group of people who are at the fringes of the economy but don't actually technically count as employed. So what I looked at is the relationship between these two groups. And I found that what the economy has been pretty good at doing in the last 2 years, as you mentioned with your statistic, is getting over 200,000 people back to work every single month on net. What we're not doing as well is getting these people who are sitting on the sidelines back into the economy and employed.
It also is a reminder that when we say that figure, 222,000 jobs, it sounds pretty impressive. But in your article, you point not all jobs are created equal, and they're not all necessarily in the same place.
That's exactly right. Wage growth and job growth are happening in different places. If you look at the industries that we are doing the best at adding new jobs in, we're adding lots of jobs in sectors with stagnant wages, lots of jobs in retail, lots of jobs in food processing and service industries and leisure and hospitality where wages aren't growing. Where wages are growing is in other industries like, say, manufacturing, where we're actually not adding that many jobs. In fact, we're still way, way down from our highs in the 2000s and the 1990s before that. And so when you hear about jobs being added, that's always a good thing. It's always a good thing for someone to move from unemployment to employment. It's good for so many reasons, for productivity, for their health and happiness, for their ability to make money for their family. But we're doing a great job at adding work in industries where wages simply aren't budging.
And so what does the trend in this invisible unemployment rate look like? And you mentioned earlier that this is a hard number to get at in some ways. And so how do you get at that?
Right. So what I did in this article is I graphed the number of people who have been unemployed officially. They are looking for work and they cannot find it. It's going back to the early 1990s. And then there's another line on the graph that's looking at what I call invisible unemployment. And once again, that's people who are working part-time but want to work more, or people who are not looking for work because they're discouraged. They don't think there's anything out there for them. What we've seen since 2010, since the official unemployment rate has started falling fairly quickly, what you see is a straight diagonal line, essentially, for unemployment. We've done a good job at adding 150, 180, 200, now 220,000 jobs a month. But for this other group, this invisible unemployment group, it's basically stuck. So people at the fringes of the economy who have dropped out for whatever reason, discouragement or an inability to find an employer who will pay them more than part-time, we haven't seen any improvement there. And so when you think about the unemployment rate, you begin to realize that it's describing only a fraction of the economy. There's this invisible unemployment sector that it doesn't do a good job of describing the health of.
Is there another period that you can think of in American history where you can look and see this same sort of thing developing? Or is this really brand new territory for us?
The statistics that we're looking at to define invisible unemployment don't go back further than the early 1990s. So within that 20-year period, within the last generation, this is certainly unique. You go back further than that, you know, there was a terrible recession in the early 1980s. It was slightly different than this one because of the causes. We added jobs back a lot faster. We got back to fast growth a lot faster for lots of reasons, including the Federal Reserve having a lot of leeway to really power the recovery. One of the reasons why this recovery has been so difficult is that we haven't quite managed to figure out how to get us to what some economists call escape velocity growth. We did a stimulus package, and that was helpful. We brought interest rates to the Federal Reserve down to zero, but maybe we weren't creative enough about stimulating investment and demand in the economy. We really haven't had a crisis like this potentially since the Great Depression, and that was a very different global economy, a very different national economy. So we have sort of been flying blind and having to make up our own way here in the last few years.
Yeah, speaking of that, with the issue of globalization there, and in your article you also mention invisible employment, which sounds kind of positive until you start talking about what it is and what it means to the U.S.
Right. I think people get confused when they see that the stock market is doing so well and the labor market doing so averagely, or in the years before, maybe the last year, rather poorly. But in fact, the success of the stock market and the weakness of the labor market, I see as part of being the same story. You see earnings rise when international corporations are able to grow demand overseas and limit the growth of labor, because labor is extremely expensive. So your profits will grow if you can withhold hiring lots of expensive Americans. And this is what a lot of companies have done as they've expanded abroad. They've either replaced a lot of Americans here with technology, or if they've expanded work abroad. So what I called invisible work here, kind of being cheeky, playing off the invisible unemployment trend that I was talking about. What I'm really talking about here is globalization and technology. These are the ways that international multinational corporations have been extremely successful in growing their overall profits while limiting American unemployment.
Perhaps kind of cheeky, but certainly with a lot of implications. We're talking about the idea of invisible unemployment and how the steady decline in unemployment is not necessarily translating into wage growth for many Americans.
And we'd love to hear from you on this, to hear your experience. Have you seen your wages stagnate over the past several years? How is it affecting you and your family? And what do you see as possible solutions to this trend? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue our discussion with Atlantic senior editor Derek Thompson. But first, this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert with Chris Molina. This is our year-end membership drive. If you've put off being counted as a WPR member in 2014, now's your time to take action. And if you have given, or maybe you're a sustainer, now's the time to make a special year-end gift. It takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, we heard from 12 new and returning members, 8 of those brand new members to Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome and thank you so much for your first-time pledge. But we do have a new goal this hour of 15 pledges, so we need to get those in by 5 o'clock. Thank you so much for the pledges so far.
Right now, we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $1,200. This generous match from an anonymous donor is coming from an anonymous donor, and it means that they'll match every dollar that you give. So it's a fantastic hour to pledge. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
Yeah, Veronica, and it gets better, too, because when you pledge, you will be entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. So donate any amount during our year-end membership drive, and you could tour Washington, D.C., or experience the rich culture and food of France, or see Alaska's beautiful scenery.
Get your pledge doubled right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
In the greater scheme of shows on WPR, Central Time is brand new. We started last summer, and we're excited to be part of the spirit of innovation here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Members play a big role in WPR's ability to move with the times and to stay relevant. Well, thank you for your support. New shows like Central Time have a chance to see the light of day thanks to you. Your contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is a vote for Central Time and a vote for innovation on Wisconsin Public Radio.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love. And as an added incentive, we have something special during this year-end membership drive. It's a limited edition 2015 calendar, and it's yours when you give $120 or more. That's only $10 a month.
And the calendar is pretty amazing. It features historic black and white photos of WPR in the early days. Ask for your calendar now when you make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This membership drive, we're having a drawing for a trip of your choice to D.C., France, or Alaska. When you give, you're automatically entered. You don't have to pledge to participate. You can send a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone number to WPR Trip Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Enter by sending a postcard, or better yet, by making a pledge right now.
Make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Veronica Rickard here, your Central Time host, with Jean Purcell and for Rob Ferret. And we're here with Chris Molina asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during this year-end membership drive. Whether your pledge is $5 a month or maybe $100 a month feels comfortable to you, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And when you give today, consider becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. As a sustainer, you'll give a monthly amount, say $10 or $15, and that'll automatically come out of your bank account or your credit card. Your monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make a change.
That means we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in and day out, year in and year out. And you're in control. You can change your giving at any time. It's a convenient way to give, and it's really helpful to Wisconsin Public Radio. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You expect online streaming, podcasts, and a useful website, and Wisconsin Public Radio meets your expectations.
But those things aren't free. They do require investments in technology and engineering. Your donation right now keeps WPR relevant in a changing world. Make your pledge of support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before. Well, I'm here to tell you that new members are such an important part of these fund drives. Every single member makes a difference here because listener support is the single biggest piece of our fundraising pie here at WPR.
Whether you tune in for your favorite program or you find yourself checking in throughout the day or the week, you're getting value from what you hear. If you've never given before, start off with a pledge of $5 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been going strong for years and years. Help keep us strong as we enter 2015. Become a first-time donor or make an extra special year-end gift to support the programs like Central Time that you value. Give that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, this is a fantastic time to make that pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio because our dollar-for-dollar match is still in effect up to $1,200 thanks to an anonymous donor. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support for WPR is going to go twice as far.
And there's so many cool things happening during the drive today. You know, with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you're going to get entered in that drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Sustainers, sit back, relax. You are automatically automatically entered. And this pledge drive, we're offering an exciting new thank you gift, the limited edition 2015 historic WPR calendar. Awesome WPR photos in there. It's yours with a gift of $10 a month. That's only $120. Make that pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
We're taking a look at the factors behind stagnant wage growth in the U.S. Why wages have stayed the same, even though the jobless rate is falling. And we'd like to hear from you, too. How do you feel about this? Are you underemployed or just underpaid? How is wage stagnation affecting you and your family? And do you see any possible solutions? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email us on talk@wpr.org. We're talking with Derek Thompson, who wrote an article on this in the Atlantic magazine. And I want to talk a little bit about the idea or the issue of aging, because the aging population in the U.S. plays into this too. And could you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, one thing that's interesting right now is when you compare generations to see which one has had the worst time. And it's certainly the case that wages have dropped the most for young people. So if you look exclusively at the issue of who has been hurt the most by income changes in the aftermath of the Great Recession, that does seem to be the so-called millennial generation born between 1982 and the late 1990s. But one of the really important things that has also happened for older people is that a lot of people in their 50s and 60s who were expecting to retire around 2006, 2007, 2008, were suddenly shocked by the collapse, not only perhaps in the value of their homes, but in the value of their portfolios as well, and some of them may have lost jobs too. And so what you've seen is that the long-term trend of people working a little bit longer has continued because people need to earn more income to put more away into their nest egg. As a result, it's arguable that one of the issues with the economy right now is that since Americans aren't retiring at the age that they used to, you have somewhat of a backlog where boomers are staying longer in their old jobs, which means that Gen Xers aren't moving up into the old boomer jobs, which means that millennials can't move into some of those entry and second level jobs that Gen Xers are at right now. So you really have to think of the entire U.S. labor force as working together and affecting each other in this picture.
We've got a comment from Peter on Facebook who says the unemployment rate is not very meaningful because so many people dropped out of the job market. He says the economy has not been adding enough jobs to keep up with the growth in population. So is Peter saying the same thing you are saying in a different way, or is there more to it than that?
Peter is identifying something that economists call the participation rate. The participation rate is the number of Americans that have a job or are looking for a job divided by the total number of Americans that are of age for a job. And it is at, I believe, a 30-year low. And it's at a multi-generational low for a couple reasons. One reason is demographics. We are getting older as a country, and a lot of economists anticipated the participation rate to decline, recession. But the second issue is that we did have a recession, and there's a little bit of cyclicality to this too. There are people who've dropped out of the labor force, like I mentioned, because they're discouraged. They're working part-time even though they want to work full-time, and that's having an impact on the participation rate as well. So I think there's both structural shifts, the aging of the country, and cyclical shifts like the aftermath of the Great Recession playing into the lower participation rate.
In your article, you say that this issue is too large to ignore. So I guess my question is, who's paying attention to it?
Certainly economists are paying attention to it, and a lot of writers are too. I think that the people that aren't paying as much attention as they should is the government and the Fed and the people who are in charge of taxing and spending. I think you see a reluctance on Capitol Hill to do just about anything brave when it comes to spending these days. You can't get a very, very simple spending bill passed. And so I think that the frustration that a lot of people feel duly is that since the stimulus bill in 2009 was passed and its effects sort of began to wear off in 2010, 2011, there really has been no follow-up effort from the fiscal side, from the taxing and spending side, to help Americans who can't get back to work. And so I think it's important, even for people who feel like they hear this issue day in and day out, for writers to continue hammering at it, because the message is not quite trickling up to Washington.
Got time for a quick call. We go to Dale now, who joins us from Wauwatosa. Hi.
Hi. I appreciate what your author is talking about. I think, from my perspective, I think the biggest reason that wages have declined has been the tax on collective bargaining and the tax on unions. If there's any one thing historically has raised wages for the entire middle class, it's been unions. And the decline of unions and the undercutting of collective bargaining, I think, is responsible for more wage stagnation than anything else.
Dale, thanks so much for that observation. Derek Thompson, what about that? Certainly here in Wisconsin or in many places around the country, collective bargaining, the power of unions is much debated, much controversy. What role does it play here?
I don't want to answer this question too technically, but what we're talking about here is obvious correlation, but not obvious causation. It is definitely clear that as unions have fallen as a share of the workforce, that wage growth has also suffered, particularly for middle-income households. At the same time, there's a lot of other stuff that's happening too. Globalization is sending a lot of those jobs overseas, and so you're competing with the global labor pool. Technology is replacing a lot of routine-based middle-skill work, which is also destroying the middle-income jobs that typically were unionized. Finally, you also have growing healthcare costs. So even if overall compensation is growing slightly, more and more of that compensation is going into paying for healthcare. So as that brief answer begins to show, there's a lot going on. Unions are absolutely a part of it, and there's no question that unions help to buttress wage growth for lots of people and have and did for a lot of the 20th century. But there's so much going on that is affecting the prospects for middle-income workers that I don't think we can reduce it to exactly one thing.
Well, Derek, so much to talk about, but unfortunately we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Derek Thompson, a senior editor at The Atlantic magazine. This is Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up in just a moment, we'll look at changes to disciplinary measures at Wisconsin prisons that could be coming soon.
First, though, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Membership Drive. I'm Gene Purcell here with Chris Molina. And we are here because this is listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And we're in our year-end membership drive right now, as a matter of fact, which means it is a great time for you to think about how much you have appreciated WPR programs in 2014 and how we know that you want to help keep them going strong in 2015. And so the solution to that is for you to take some action with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Gene, we had a dollar-for-dollar match in effect. I'm glad to report that we have met our goal for that.
Yay.
We've heard from 15 members already this hour, so thank you so much. However, there is still time to get your pledge in. We've got another great reason to give.
We sure do. You can pledge any amount, and that means you are automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose between a variety of destinations, including Washington, D.C., a getaway to France, or an Alaskan adventure. You can enter the drawing right now by making that pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Chances are the Ideas Network has covered an issue that's close to you. Whether it's interpersonal relationships, state issues, technology, you know, we try to bring you shows that you'll find relevant, interesting, and enjoyable. Because WPR touches your life, make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And during this membership drive, you can choose the limited edition 2015 WPR calendar. It's got lots of great historical legacy photos of Wisconsin Public Radio through the decades as your thank you gift for your pledge of $120 or more. That's just $10 a month. Your pledge supports all of the programming here at WPR, and we guarantee that you are going to love this calendar.
Yeah, it's got great black and white photos of Wisconsin Public Radio history, some of the people who were pioneers in the history of public broadcasting. There might even be a picture of Gene Purcell in there. I don't know. But you'll have to find out with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, I was young once, too. You know. You might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. And it's true. We do get some funding from the federal government and from the state of Wisconsin. And for that, we are very grateful. But listener contributions make up the single largest source of our income.
That means your support is vital to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. Now that you know how important listener support is to WPR, make a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How'd you like to explore all the very best sights and sounds of Washington, D.C.? This April, you could enjoy beautiful landscapes as we travel by bus to experience the famous landmarks and world-class museums of our nation's capital. You'll even visit NPR's headquarters for an exclusive look at the home of Morning Edition and All Things Considered. This tour is just one of three trips you'll get to choose from when you win our Choose Your Own Adventure drawing during this membership drive. Your pledge of any amount gets you entered, but no contributions necessary to win. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Learn all the details at WPR.org/drawing or enter with your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Good luck.
Make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Hi, I'm Gene Purcell here with Chris Molina. We're asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during our year-end membership drive for 2014. And maybe your gift will be $10 or $20 a month. Well, don't worry about that. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And that's because WPR is your daily companion. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home, in the car, at the office, or whether you're concentrating or relaxing.
And like a good companion, you can count on us for accurate news, great music, and intelligent conversation. We, in turn, count on you to support what you hear, because that is how public radio works. We count on you. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're interested in playing a larger role in support of WPR. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a growing group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more or year, $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs.
And that is a very generous amount. Leadership Circle members want to make sure that public radio programming is going to be here today and tomorrow for everyone who wants to listen. If you would like to increase your support to Wisconsin Public Radio and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And your donation might even go further than you think. Find out if your employer will match your donation. Pledge now and then ask your human resources department the next time you get a chance.
And you know, even retired employees can sometimes qualify for these employer matches, so it is really worth asking the question. So pledge now, WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and then find out if you can get your pledge doubled.
And as an added bonus for your pledge of any amount this hour at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be entered in a drawing for two tickets on a WPR trip. Hey, sustainers, sit back, relax. We've automatically got you entered.
And that's a great place to be. And during this pledge drive, we're also offering an exciting new thank you gift. It's a limited edition 2015 calendar featuring some really cool historic WPR photos, things that I haven't even seen before. And that is saying something. So help us start 2015 strong and make WPR a part of your daily life in a whole new way when you pledge $10 a month. That's $120 or more. And when you do that, ask for the calendar, WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
When you make that pledge, consider becoming a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. That means you're going to make ongoing payments from your bank account or your credit card. It provides a reliable source of funding for programs like Central Time, for all of the programs here on Wisconsin Public Radio. It ensures that these programs are going to be here day after day after day. Become a sustaining member. Make that decision right now with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're right. It takes just a few minutes to do. We'll need your name, the amount you'd like to pledge, and a way of getting a hold of you. And that is about it. And you have done your part to help support all of the work of Wisconsin Public Radio. So go ahead and make your pledge online right now at WPR.org or give us a call at 888-202-2552. And thank you.
Changes appear to be coming to disciplinary rules and measures at Wisconsin prisons, and that could include changes to the state's usage of solitary confinement.
And Bill Leaders joins us now with the story. He is a reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. And
Bill, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be back.
Well, the DOC, the Department of Corrections, has been quiet about the planned changes in areas like prisoner discipline and solitary confinement. But what do we know so far about these changes and the way Wisconsin prisons could use solitary confinement in the future?
Well, the Department of Corrections has acknowledged that there are new disciplinary rules that are coming into play. These will take effect on January 1st. They were years in the making. They were introduced to the legislature in 2011. They were passed this year. They'll take effect in just a couple, 3 weeks. And they will change some of the processes for disciplining inmates. But in addition to that, the Department of Corrections has been talking, internally at least, about its discomfort with the use of solitary confinement, which in Wisconsin is called segregation. There have been a number of internal communications in which officials, including the Secretary of the Department, Edward Wall, have expressed their deep misgivings about the use of solitary confinement in the state prisons, the way that it is used, and suggested that they need to rethink and revise this. There is a task force that was appointed. All of that is known either because the department has come out and said it, or because we've obtained records that that show that this is what is going on. But the problem has been that the rule changes are not terribly clear. It's not clear to the outside reader what is meant by a proposed change. And when you seek clarification from the Department of Corrections, they've not been willing to provide it. So there's some uncertainty as to what exactly will change.
You said you had access to some internal communications as there was some back and forth debating some of the uses of segregation or solitary confinement,
yes,
as it's known. What did you glean from that, from what you read?
Well, as I say, there's deep discomfort. There was a article that was written for internal distribution at the Department of Corrections by Secretary Wall in April, as the national there was a growing national debate and concern over the use of segregation, which Rick Ramish, our former DOC secretary, who is now head of the correction system in Colorado, has been a big player on. And Ed Wall expressed his concern, said he wanted to appoint a committee to hold changes. I requested records about that. Among the records I received was an additional document prepared by Secretary Wall, in which he just muses on the topic, comes up with some of the concerns he has, and at one point he talks about uses of segregation that seem unduly harsh and punitive. Like one example he gave was an inmate who was sentenced to 180 days of solitary confinement because he had kitchen spices in his cell. And he says, why are we doing this? Does this make any sense? Does this serve a purpose? So that document came to light through a records request. Additionally, we found, we obtained, separate from our records request, an email that was sent to DOC staff from an administrator, the administrator of the Division of Adult Institutions, Kathy Jess, of the DOC, which talked about how these new rule changes provide an excellent opportunity for the state to make changes in how it uses solitary confinement, this issue that Wall has raised on these prior occasions. And so it appears as though they see this as a chance to make changes. How exactly those will be implemented and what it will mean remains very unclear.
Do we know if there's any agreement about why solitary confinement is used in Wisconsin prisons and what the goal of it is?
Well, one of the goals is to protect the institution, that inmates who do not follow the rules need to be separated from the population, because, if you can't behave, you can't enjoy the same level of freedom and movement as do other prisoners. But what segregation consists of in some cases is just, complete lockdown, upwards of 23 hours a day in these very tiny cells, which is very punishing psychologically. If you're not mentally ill, it might make you mentally ill. If you are mentally ill, which about half of the people in Wisconsin segregation units are, it's very likely going to make you worse. It's a very grim and punishing environment. And, when I've reported on this before, I came up with really horrific examples of people who would hurt themselves and behave in just hideous ways because their mind was collapsing.
Do we know what kind of reaction these rules are getting? You said there's still not total clarity on what's expected, but what kind of reaction are groups like the faith-based prisoner advocacy group Wisdom announcing so far?
Well, I think that they are encouraged by the expressions of concern from officials within the Department of Corrections, that it is exactly the type of concern that they want the officials within the system to have. But they're also unclear as to what exactly is changing, and they're looking at the new rules and seeing that there are still very long sentences that an inmate can get for what seem to be very minor offenses, like loitering. You can get 180 days in solitary for loitering. And they see that and they say, well, what really has changed? Are we really doing anything, or are we just talking about the need to do something?
Bill, thank you so much for joining us.
Always good to be here.
We've been speaking to Bill Leaders with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism.
Coming up, one of Wisconsin's youngest state lawmakers joins us to talk about her priorities going into the next legislative session, especially as she takes on the role of Assistant Assembly Minority Leader. But first, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Membership Drive. I'm Gene Purcell here with Veronica Rickard and with Chris Molina, and we are in our year-end membership drive on listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. Your support is vital to all of the programs you hear here in WPR, including Central Time, and that's why we're here to ask for your gift right now, because as 2014 comes to an end, we look forward to starting 2015 in a very strong financial position. You can help get us there by making the programs you rely on possible by giving at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right. We have heard from 20 pledgers right now, 20 new members of Wisconsin Public Radio. Why won't you join them right now? Become a member of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's a great time to pledge right now. Become a member and do something you'll feel good about. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is the number to call.
And you can donate any amount. And when you do, you are entered to win two tickets on a Wisconsin Public Radio trip. You've been hearing a lot about these on the radio lately. You get to choose by experiencing Washington, D.C., or you could enjoy a trip to France, or explore Alaska if you'd like. So you can get entered into that drawing right now at WPR.org. Or give us a call at 888-202-2552.
In the last interview there, we talked with Bill Leaders about possible changes to the way Wisconsin prison system uses solitary confinement. Important news, something the world has been watching as awareness is raised about the issue of solitary confinement. An example of the way Central Time keeps you up to date with what's happening in Wisconsin and the world.
You've got a lot to think about here in Central Time and a lot to support, and we count on that support because it makes all of those topics we talk about every single day possible. We cannot do it without you. So choose a gift amount that works for you and then make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Special thank you gift this membership drive. You can get the limited edition 2015 WPR calendar when you make a contribution of $120. That's $10 a month or more. Your donation supports the programs that you count on, and you can also get this fun, useful thank you gift.
So make WPR part of your daily routine in a whole new way when you ask for this very cool calendar of historic Wisconsin Public Radio photos. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.